Yeah, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, members. You are all welcome this morning. As you all know that we've been very busy trying to deal with the issues of refugees. Therefore, the information we received was that the NCOP has reworked the bill. Because if I understand the amendment in the manner in which I presented, they started from square one again, redoing the whole bill. But nevertheless, we'll not waste time. What we'll do is that the intention is for the committee to receive the amendments from the NCOP, meaning that the committee will have to have time to digest and to engage around the proposed amendments. What we'll do this morning is that we'll then receive the amendment that's proposed from the NCOP. And then you are here to lead us on that. And then FPB is here, the law state advisor represented. And then we'll then listen to these amendments. And then it does not sort of mean that whatever that has been proposed is agreed upon. But what I'll be worried about is that we must not sort of kill the object of this bill. Because if we were to miss that, there will be no need, in fact, for us to do any amendment. So we just will now have to listen to this amendment formally. So I'll give you to take through the committee on the work that we've been doing with the NCOP. And the members will then ask questions, clarities. But I think after here, members can then decide as to how we must then sort of deal with this amendment. On that note, thank you very much. You're still waiting for the document. Okay. Meanwhile, Lord, you're still waiting for the document. Is there anything, Chedi, that you want to share with the committee? While we're still waiting for the treatment, because I know that FPB always have issues.
Plenty, Mr. Chairperson. I'm really plenty to share. I have a number of concerns, but I'd rather wait until I hear what the amendment from the NCOP is.
Meaning that you are not part of the amendment in the NCOP?
Certainly not. I oppose, okay. I think, every single
From FPB, who was involved?
I was there, but
carry on, Chief. You are protected. Just can we give Chief the opportunity?
I was there, but as I say, there were amendments that were suggested, which, as you rightly pointed out, that would really interfere with the primary objective of the bill itself. And there's one amendment.
But how did you allow it to come back to the legislature?
Well, I was overpowered.
Overpowered by the legislature.
Yes.
Yeah, the legislature have those powers.
I realized then that I have to rely on this committee.
And in fact, myself, don't be as sincere, that's fine. But what I understand, last time when we met, I thought it was one small amendment that we're dealing with. That is why even we were ready to sort of amend that small part. But to my surprise, obvious, it's the entire, bill that is being amended. But nevertheless, must not surprise us. The second house has that responsibility. That is why if a bill, a joint bill of yours, would have to go to the NCOP, they have that role to play. So on that note, I think that we would have to listen to this amendment. But the current situation, the FPB, what are the challenges currently? Maybe you can share with the committee.
Yes, one of the big problem we're facing, Mr. Chairperson, is that our research has indicated that a lot of the deviant sexual behavior, including violent behavior in school, is a result of exposure to disturbing, harmful, and inappropriate
behavior. Just be free. Nobody's going to...
A lot of deviant behavior. Research done by the board itself and by academic institutions like Pitts University and so on has clearly pointed out that most of the deviant behavior among youth in schools, including violence and peer-to-peer rape and so on. There's a very high correlation between that and exposure to such materials on television, especially on TV. In fact, our research also points out that most parents are more concerned about what their children are exposed to on television than in the movies. So that is a major concern, and that is one amendment in which I think would set us back along there. And I think it is one area in which the original discussions around the 1996 bill in August 1996 focused on, in fact, and that is to protect children from exposure to such materials. And I don't want to anticipate the amendment, but the removal of any restriction or prohibition on TV broadcasters on broadcasting material which is sexually explicit or extremely violent and so on would pose a problem not only to the board but also to the ministerial task team on the protection of children from child pornography, because child pornography has two aspects: one, which is the actual use of children in pornography, and the second one is exposing children to sexually explicit materials. That really is a matter of concern. And what I'm really surprised about is that it is an existing provision. And the amendment simply seeks to change the reference to the particular section of the Act and does not seek to introduce a new measure. It is an existing measure. And I really think that is something. I would hope that we will be able to make written submissions on a number of these issues.
Well, you have raised something. The ministerial task team, what has been there? Involvement in the process of refining this bill?
Well, except for the presence of the Deputy Minister, I don't think the Ministerial Task Team was involved to any extent.
What position do they have around the amendment? I mean, do they make a submission that we can use as part of evidence in dealing with the current amendment?
Not that I'm aware of, sir.
So what is the role of the Task Team then?
It is to advise government on appropriate measures to protect children from...
But if they don't have a say in this thing, what does it mean? If you have a ministerial task team responsible for, dealing with what we are dealing with currently, advising a government, and they don't make a submission, they're very quiet, they're participating, we don't hear them, either in the general bill itself, that's where they've participated, but I just wanted to understand. What is the role of this body?
My view was that it was up to the epidemiologist because he, in fact, is in the task team.
He himself is not here. Okay. But I understand that there's a bereavement in the family, that's why he's not here. So maybe sort of what we need to do will be to sort of proceed, because a machine is ready, this document. Is there anything you want to share with us, FPB, before we start with this amendment? Is there anything? Nothing for now. For now, no. But do you see a budget? It has increased from... And nobody's saying thanks to the portfolio committee. We have increased your budget to about what, 56 million now?
50.1
million. From what?
29.
So I think, you need to applaud this committee. But we'll have a special deal with you. No, thank you very much. Now, let us then look at the proposed amendments, and then from there, the committee will then decide how we're going to deal with them. Can we then give you over parliamentary law advisor, obviously, who has been working on the bill? Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chair, if you recall, when the bill was before the portfolio committee, there were a number of submissions which highlighted the fact that certain clauses may be unconstitutional. And in that respect, the NA committee effected certain changes. But subsequent to that, when the bill went to the NCOP, submissions were received that some provisions still remained unconstitutional. Now let me start with clause 19 in the bill, which dealt with the classification of publications. The first issue was that the former clause 16(1) exempted publishers who were part of NASA from pre-classification. Now, the exemption was made on the basis that these members were regulated by the press ombudsman. It was subsequently established that the press ombudsman also regulates other newspapers. There was Print Media South Africa, which had different components, and they were all regulated by the press ombud. So if you are only going to exempt NASA members and not the IAP, which is also regulated by the press ombudsman, that would be an arbitrary exemption. So what the NCOP did was to exempt all members which are newspapers and are members of Print Media South Africa, so that they would be exempted. So it means that they are regulated by the press ombud, and that's why it was just equalizing that. The second issue was also on clause 16. Essentially what clause 16 was saying is that any publication that contains visual presentations, descriptions or representations of or amounting to sexual conduct, propaganda for war, incitement for imminent violence, or the advocacy of hatred based on identifiable group characteristics that constitute incitement to cause harm must be sent for pre-classification. But in terms of the wording, Chair, it meant that not only publications which advocated this or showed sexual conduct, but also publications which wrote on genocide or wrote on xenophobia now would have to be pre-classified. So it was just in terms of the wording. The wording was tightened up to say that only those publications which actually advocate imminent violence, etc., those needed to be pre-classified, because that doesn't have the constitutional protection in terms of Section 16 of the Constitution. when it came to sexual conduct, the definition of sexual conduct was very wide, because sexual conduct would also include all sorts of sex education, AIDS education literature, academic journals, etc. So the definition of sexual conduct was tightened up to read explicit sexual conduct which violates or shows disrespect for the right to human dignity of any person, degrades a person, or constitutes incitement to harm. So just the definition of sexual conduct was tightened up so that legitimate publications would not be caught in this. And subsequent to that, Chair, throughout the bill there were a number of subsequent amendments, because the words visual presentations or descriptions of any, that would actually prevent newspapers from also reporting on the material, not just containing the material. So throughout the bill, there were these subsequent amendments. Then if you turn to page 10 of the ABLE, in terms of 16.4b, it was agreed that certain words or phrases and contained in section 16.4b would be deemed unconstitutional due to their vagueness. The relevant phrases were an act which is degrading of human beings, as proposed in section 16.4b2, which is incapable of a meaning even by the department, and it was also agreed to substitute the word domestic violence, because if you didn't define domestic violence in this bill, it would have reference to domestic violence in the Domestic Violence Act, and that would include damage to property, stalking, all kinds of things, which was not the intention of this bill, and that's why it was defined to after consulting with the Films and Publications Board, they've submitted that extreme violence would be better suited there. Next, Chair, was on clause 21 and 27. The committee noted that even though the new section 23.3 exempts broadcasters that are not subject to regulation by ICASA from the provisions of the new section 18.1, the committee was of the view that the word subject to section 24.8, 2 and 3 as they appear in that section made the exemption of broadcasters partial. Now, in terms of section 192 of the Constitution, legislation must establish an independent regulator to regulate broadcasting. So the committee was not saying that broadcasters should be totally exempt, but they were rather saying that this is the domain of ICASA, not of the Films and Publications, because if that was the case, then there would be a violation of section 192 of the Constitution, because the Constitution gives ICASA the sole right to do that. And then just to ensure consistency, and in order to guard against any encroachment by the Films and Publications Board on the mandate of ICASA to regulate broadcasting, the committee was of the view that the word subject to section 24A, 2 and 3, as they appeared in section 23.3, be removed from that subsection, as that would infringe section 192. Then there was also some confusion. The committee recommended that the new section 23.3 be removed from clause 27 and placed under clause 21 as a new subsection 6, because the subject matter is the same. It was misplaced in that section. The last clause, J, is section 24B. It was established that subsection 3, 4, and 5, it was recommended, that they be deleted in their entirety, and that the words "am liable upon conviction to a fine or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 10 years or to both such fine and imprisonment as contained in subsection 1, 2 and 6 be deleted. If these provisions were not amended in this way, it means that it would abrogate or limit provisions in the Sexual Offences Act of 1957 as amended recently by the Criminal Law Sexual Offences Act of Act 32 of 2007. Now part 2 of that section deals with all the matters relating to the sexual exploitation and grooming of children, the exposure or display of child pornography or pornography to children, using children for pornographic purposes, or benefiting from child pornography. Now, the legislature took many years to complete the amendments on the Sexual Offences Act, and it found that by capping the prison terms, you're actually limiting what courts can do, because a high court has unlimited jurisdiction to sentence a person to a much higher sentence, and regional courts and magistrates courts can whereas they could sentence people to up to 15 years, this actually limits that. And it was found that these sections rather be removed so that they don't limit the ambit of the Sexual Offences Act, which already covers these materials in detail. Those are essentially the amendments, Jay. So it's actually just a tightening up of the bill.
Are you done?
Yes,
sir. Okay, members. These are the proposed amendments. Chedi, is there anything that you want to raise? I'm doing this because I... Now, before you come in, let me give the trusted advisor any input that you want to make before we sort of give Chedi, not public hearing Chedi, but because you are the main stakeholder here. It is the reason that will afford you this opportunity just to talk on this amendment. But let me give you my first
Thank you, sir.
Just introduce yourself for the record for members to know you.
It's Mr. Madoda Titus from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor. I'm a senior state law advisor there. I was initially involved when the Select Committee was dealing with this bill, when we were asked to finish them with a reply to an opinion which was received from a senior counsel indicating that some clauses were unconstitutional. So I was involved when we were preparing that opinion, and thereafter a colleague of mine who's on leave as we speak was dealing with the matter. What I can add is that on this issue of ICASA and the board having both of them wanting to have a jurisdiction to tell which publications to be broadcasted by TVs and stuff like that. We were mandated to, the Select Committee had requested us to come up with an opinion and say and tell whether there is an instance where where ICASA has a concurrent jurisdiction with another board or institution which is established in terms of an Act of Parliament. But unfortunately, at the time, we couldn't find anything. But as I was dealing with another matter last week, the issue of concurrent jurisdiction, where ICASA has authority to oversee what broadcasters are doing, and also have another body, which is not ICASA, having authority as well to monitor some of the issues. I happen to bump on something which says that can be allowed. For example, the regulation by Competition Commission on competition issues and ICASA on general broadcasting issues. The Competition Act says, that is an amendment which is still being considered. It says the Competition Commission on issues of competition, it can overpower, it has jurisdiction to regulate issues of competition, and ICASA has authority to regulate matters that are of concern to it. Therefore, this new amendment, which was effected when the area was still grey, I think it can be revisited and the issue of concurrent jurisdiction can be considered. For example, in this instance, the board can be given an opportunity to regulate on issues of content, not publication in general. On issues of content, it can have an authority. And then the ICASA can have an absolute mandate with regard to other things. That's the only thing that I can contribute at this stage. With others, I think they are not that bad.
Yeah, the issue, I think, last time when we dealt with this bill, the role of ICASA vis-a-vis the board, I think this is what we have dealt with, and we're quite very satisfied that the content that the board focuses on is different from the general ICASA's responsibilities. Therefore, this amendment, I'm not sure if they're not informed by that, because it seems you're now giving the blanket a exemption because you don't have to touch the terrain which ICASA deals with. That's a problem, number one. Now, yes, with your input, I think it sort of begin to help us to understand the route in which we are going into. But, you know, this process between ourselves, the NCOP, this is what I want to understand. I do not want us to either agree or disagree, because if we go to that route, obviously there's going to be the need for mediation committee to come in. To deal with these amendments, obviously, between ourselves and the NCOP. That's what I was saying, that earlier I thought that it was a small amendment that that we're looking at. But with this input, obviously, and what you have just presented, there's a need, in fact, for us to really have our mind very clear, because they lost the advisor and the point in which he's giving. And the experience and example that it's giving, I think it does come back to what we wanted to achieve at the end of the day. I'm giving this board powers to be able to regulate in the area of a jurisdiction. So let me give members first an opportunity to reflect on these issues, because I believe that we're not going to finalize these things here. There's still going to be a need for us to digest these things further. The intention that you thought will just come in and amend and agree will not work out, because what we need to guard against is the object. We must never miss the object of what we want to achieve. Because if you begin to give this blanket amnesty or exemption, what's the use of having this amendment? So I think the law state advisors input is the one that must drive us. So therefore, let me give members. Members, is there? Yes, Hilda, let me give you so that you can come in.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have concern about what the State Law Advisor has told us. To my mind, there's far too many different organizations, ICASA, Commission Board, and everybody else. Are they going to be given their specific roles in this bill? Or is it going to be a case that we find so often of this one says, no, that's not my responsibility, it's his responsibility. And by the time you get to the bottom line of whose responsibility it is, all the damage has been done. So could there be some clarification as to who is going to be responsible for what? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just the question of administration, Chairperson. We got the bill, the amendment now. It's fine, Chair. I propose that for today we rest our case and then we take it back to our study groups and go and digest and then come back at the later stage.
Thank you.
let us engage on questions of clarities if need be, and so that if you go to a study groups and seek more mandate, you are very clear of the issues. No? So the reason that let's do this exercise, let's continue the exercise, because somewhere, especially this issue of power relations here, I think it's one thing that I want us to be very clear. The rest of the issues are very minor amendments, but some of them very technical. You must be very careful. You may think it's a line of omitting one word that will sort of jeopardize the whole thing. So I saw that you had a hand up.
Yeah, Chair, I can't actually comment on the ICASA issue because it was the state law advisors that drove that provision in the previous bill, in the NCOP, to say that this shouldn't be here, and it was actually their proposal that the NCOP adopted. So I'm taken by surprise at the change in view, and I can't comment on that.
It's how the senior council come and play. You see, once the senior council has spoken, everything is final. No, but I think the manner in which the lost state advisor has explained is that in the process of us engaging on this thing, they've done a lot of work on the side to try and deal with these two bodies, vis-a-vis the question of content and the general exemption. Therefore, going back to the point that Jose has raised, I think it's something that we may want to go back, rework on it, because I can see you're already disabled now. I can see that. But Hilda, the issues that we have to deal with, obviously, it's around the two bodies and the content. Who deals with content? And the example has been given very clearly that we can give the board that responsibility to deal with content. Let me have parliamentary, what's called the department. Drafters of the bill of what is your view on these issues, especially what the law state advisor has proposed and what the NCOP is proposing?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we'll heavily rely on the board in terms of the practical situations. And like the state law advisors indicated initially, that was the case, but then recently, with the information they've got at hand regarding the competent commission, that might need to be considered to see as to whether something can be done in that regard. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like an opportunity to make a detailed submission on that omission of the subject of Section 24A, 2 and 3, but I don't think this is the forum for it. The other comment I'd like to make is that had the Parliamentary Law Advisor asked me for instances where degrading of human beings has been used by the board over the past 10 years, plus a number of High Court and Supreme Court decisions in the United States and Canada, which dealt with the issue of degrading behavior, at least behavior degrading of human beings in films and so on. So it is not a concept that we have not used. It's not a concept that we can't interpret. And also, I think it should be borne in mind that Section 21D talks about degradation as far as children are concerned. So even the Constitution uses that term. So I find it very difficult to accept that behavior degrading to human beings cannot be defined. It has been defined and has been used in practice by examiners.
Between yourselves and the board currently, what is the relationship? When the bill was with the NCOP, you've been like together looking at these issues. It seems to me that each one of you has a different approach, and I believe that by now you're supposed to have gelled together and be able to be of a assistance to the board, and because you are bringing this bill before Parliament, and we have dealt with it ourselves in the National Assembly, it's gone there, but it seems you don't handle things jointly. What's his name? Can you sort of show
this? Chair, if I may indicate, I think we've been working together in terms of each and every little detail that we've got, maybe through interpretation,
we first check with them with regard to practicalities. I think we have even the amendments that were proposed, we've been with them throughout. And the only concern that the board is having is particularly with regard to the issues of exemption of broadcasters. But with the other amendments, I think we are content about them. We don't have much disagreements. Thank you.
We'll come back to that point. That's on your proposal, but I just wanted to have an understanding of the workings, the role of the department, what have been working with the board to build them up and to help them, and to receive submissions from the board as they're dealing with the amendments. If you are able to do that, it's going to be very easy. Because you're dealing with people who are practically dealing with the problem every day. And therefore, what informs the legal advice, the parliamentary, I mean, the department, the legal people will be informed by that particular engagement. So that by the time we come to the decisions of the law state advice, having done that work, we are very clear ourselves. Because here at our level of parliament, yes, as legislators, cannot run away from our responsibility, but it's very critical that we have to take into account all of these areas that have been covered. By the time we amend, or we agree or not agree, we are very clear of the way forward and the consequences of fears of the whole thing that we're doing. So, Commissioner, I see that you have the constitution now.
Just two things. On these proposed amendments as they went to the NCOP, there was generally agreement between the parliamentary legal advisers, the department, and the state law advisers, except for Section 24B. But just to comment on the Constitution, that this can't go for mediation to Section 75 bill.
Okay.
In terms of that, the bill, this committee or the House must either pass the bill again, either with or without amendments, or just to decide not to proceed. So it's not a Section 76 that will go that way.
We'll come back to that. Let me give Skozi. But I think members, you have asked any questions of clarity. Because when we go to break, we'll have sort of satisfy ourselves. We'll have in the study group studying all these lines that have been proposed by the NCOP. And then maybe when we come back, I was just checking with the committee section which day can be available. For now, you know, tabled already, just to go through this amendment and sort of adopt whatever. Excuse me.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson Welsh, I think there is something pertaining sexual violence, domestic violence, which there is a proposal to include extreme violence. I cannot just make up what will be the difference between the two in as far as this issue of violence is concerned to what the kids.
As you watch for clarify what the question, or you still want to come back? Okay, question. Chair Ding, the current problems on the cell phone, we saw in the media again that the kind of violence that we experience in schools now is caused by a number of factors. One of them is what they've raised. But the second one is this display of sexual material on cell phones where children are really exposed to pornography. And I don't hear us talking much about that. I know at some point we were informed by the people responsible for cell phones and all of that that they'll put measures in place to sort of cap the spread of pornography in cell phones. And I don't see it happening. I don't know.
You're right, Mr. That in fact distribution via cell phone is becoming increasingly the medium of choice for as far as children are concerned. including peer-to-peer distribution of such materials. In terms of Section 24 of the Act, materials with sexual content can only be distributed from licensed adult premises, not via the internet, mail order, or cell phones. Of course, there could be a challenge if you remove the subject too. If broadcasters are allowed to broadcast X18 or XX materials, then why would you exclude the internet or mobile cell phones? On what ground would you discriminate against a cell phone operator? On what ground would you discriminate against Sterkinicom? If ETV can broadcast, say, Debbie Does Dallas, but Sterkinicom cannot. That's part of the problem with removing that exemption. But we've been having discussions with the mobile companies, if you recall that, the last time there was a presentation, I think from Vodacom, where they were quite keen to institute co-regulation. The problem really is establishing a co-regulatory regime which would work. But the bigger problem is that there is no way to control peer-to-peer distribution. It needs, I think, a sustained and focused education campaign, which in fact the National Indaba talked about, a national education campaign, because parents don't seem to be aware of the risks that children are exposed to on cell phones and the internet.
What is the board doing with regard to that currently? Is the board having a program?
In fact, we are in discussion with ISPA and WASPA, the two associations which control mobile content and internet content providers.
All right, we'll come back soon. We sort of work on a... Yeah.
Madam Chairperson, I just want to find out from the state law advisors, because when we passed the bill, they were with us and then they agreed. We said it's fine. But when they reached the second stage, they said, no, let's pull, not to walk. They say it's fine. What makes them change their mind to suit the NCOP? Can you give a valid reason? For example, when it comes to the newspaper, you agreed to say the previous one done by the NA is not the correct route. The correct route is the one done by the NCOP. Can you give us...
Yeah, and taking into account that question that Bobis Kasana has asked, this removal of a... domestic violence, with extreme violence, I think those are always fun. But just don't forget, Khosi, that the law state advisor is bringing this other opinion today here, which is not contained in what the mission has presented.
Okay.
After they've done further research on the issues, they've now come back to say, but now in fact, we can give the board to deal with the issues of content, and then it comes and then deal with the general. All right, that's fine.
Yeah,
don't answer your question.
I can answer the one on the broadcasters, not in broadcasters, on the newspapers. It was subsequently established that NASA was only one component of newspapers regulated by the Press Ombud, whereas there was this IAP, which is also a member of Print Media South Africa, which is also, these are these Statler newspapers that you get on your door. So that would be an unfair discrimination to say NASA members are excluded from this exemption, whereas not these members, because they have the same kind of regulation by the same person. It was just established that these people were also, they made submissions to say that we under the same kind of regulatory scheme. So we just were not aware of that in this committee at the time. Mr. Chetty can comment on the domestic violence.
One.
Because it was your suggestion, Jeff.
Now there's only the
it wasn't my suggestion. It was simply I didn't oppose the suggestion, because I, for the past 2 years, I've been fighting almost 18 hours mentally to make sure that the Act will give government the opportunity to maximize protection for children. And I reached a stage where I was tired of fighting, and I simply agreed. But I didn't make the proposal.
Okay, that's fine.
not running away now. He's trying to launch Shetty to bring in the extreme violence. Well, it's not him, in fact, who proposed. He was sort of defeated. He decided that, there's nothing I can say more.
But we were agreed that domestic violence, if not defined in this act, you'd have to use the definition in terms of the Domestic Violence Act. They have an extremely long definition, which includes damage to property, etc., etc. Now, if you're thinking in a movie context, it wouldn't fall under the proposed section of looking, preventing domestic violence if somebody breaks a fence. So we gave it to the Films and Publications Board to present an alternative, and we were told that extreme violence is just...
I think as Mushin has indicated, there was that we had to create a balance in terms of the word domestic and extreme. And like as he indicates, that domestic will have maybe take another definition, which is not what we think should be the case. So we didn't have problems with that, and we found the word extreme as qualifying violence to be appropriate.
My follow-up, Chairperson, from my advocate, Semele Fazilimitha. Why should you worry about defining domestic violence? Because there is Domestic Violence Act. Why can't you just call that act?
It says it's very broad. It says it's one breaking of windows and all of these issues that is talking about.
No, Chairperson, if it's very broad, they must amend that Domestic Violence Act, not this one.
Chair, the context of the two acts is different.
Mm.
That one deals with, should I say household issues, if I may say so, home-based issues. But then with the films, we are looking at a completely different subject. So should we take that definition? It's going to create...
What is films then? It's not household?
No, I mean, in terms of... As we look at domestic violence, it talks about punches through, and with this one, it's about content and what you see on films and the like.
Involves a number of things. That rapes is what it involves. Okay, maybe it's what you call the extreme violence. You do not want to define it correctly to talk about it. Why are we so apologetic to legislate? I mean, we don't have to be apologetic. We must be able to freely speak the issues. In 1996, when we started with this bill, Chetty, if you'll remember, for the first time, we were exposed to pornography. We had to spend almost, 2 weeks in public hearings, and where there were, pictures, everything, and we had to decide which one is X material. At that time, we had very senior members of parliament, who will understand in an African tradition that certain things, you don't even make mention of them, So at the end of the day, as legislatures, we had to deal with those issues. And we don't have to apologize very much if you legislate. There are certain things that I know as an African man, you cannot make mention of them. But here, you must say them, so that we are able to understand what it is that we are legislating. Now, Chidi, I want us to close this thing. I want us to close it. I'll tell you how we're going to close it, but can I give you first before you watch on?
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I just wanted to say that the board is required to interpret terms and expressions in the context of classification, and there are guidelines. And our interpretation of domestic violence would have excluded what really would be irrelevant as far as classification is concerned. The Act requires the guidelines to be established, and those guidelines do interpret. We even interpret what extreme violence is, and certainly domestic violence and extreme violence are two different matters.
Mm. So where are those guidelines? Do you have them?
I could submit them to you.
I want to see them. You must submit them, you must submit those guidelines, so that when we apply our mind ourselves, we are very clear of what is it that is the guideline. But again, I'm worried that the ministerial task team is not saying anything on these issues, if that has to deal with these issues directly. So on that note, members, can I then propose that one...
Before, Chair.
Yes.
If you are talking about newspapers being regulated somewhere, but when we were dealing with this bill, Chair, what is the right number on the...
Thank you, Chair.
Now, when we were dealing with this bill, Chairperson, we find it that tabloid newspapers are not controlled by that board. That's why we took that decision. Mm. Now, I want to ask my legal advisor, in order to adhere to their request, now the tabloid newspaper fall under the jurisdiction of that board who regulate newspapers.
No, Chair. In fact, newspapers like this on, etc., are regulated by NASA.
Mm.
So it's not these newspapers. They, in fact, as the bill stood when it passed here, it referred only to newspapers belonging to NASA. And papers like the Sun, etc., were already there. It was what was excluded were this association of independent association of newspapers, which were like the Tatler, those kinds of community newspapers.
So I still can't find the reason why they say these things are unconstitutional. On clause 19, where they say the visual presentation, description and presentation amounting to extreme sexual, like what? Extreme sexual, what? I can't find the reason why you say it's unconstitutional. Can someone really just clarify up there?
What's the approach to follow up on this point there, Jose? What's the approach looking at the constitutionality of the bill when you deal with it in the NCOP, or was to look at the object of the bill? Because if you know priority is given to constitutionality, it sort of misses the point. Because if you look at the object of the bill, this is what the bill seeks to address. Yes, obvious, the question of it will pass the constitutional master, that becomes your responsibility. But if our approach is solely to look at the senior counsel advice on the constitutionality of the bill, then we have a problem. Then you're going to miss it, because it's not us who must interpret the constitutionality.
Mm-hmm.
It's the work of the constitutional court that deals with those issues. If the committee of parliament can start to deal with the constitutionality, we're not going to legislate. In fact, we're going to be doing the work that must be done by the constitutional court.
Yeah.
And that will be a suicide to this parliament. So I think that if that approach has been the approach, then we have a problem. Because if the senior counsel was tasked to deal with the constitutionality of the bill from the National Assembly point of view, here is the bill, look at the constitutionality of it, then there's a problem. Michelle, you'll be the last to speak so that we sort of close this part. But the point that Jose is raising is that it's not us who must deal with the interpretation of the Constitution. The Constitutional Court, but I'm not saying that we must just pass the bill for the sake of passing it. It still had to go to a number of stages from here. It still goes to the president. The president does not just sign the bill without looking at the constitutionality of the bill again. You know, so I think that the legislature, because my worry is that there are two areas that need to be addressed here. Is to beef up the board, to deal with the defect of the board. Because currently the board is non-functional. You know, and that's one of the key areas that we need to focus on. And the rest of the issue is the whole question of compliance and all of that. So, you know, the more we delay this process, the more the board, there's no functioning of the board. Which I think for me is a very serious priority that we must focus on. Other things, I think what we need to do is that some of the things, you know, we can push them through, they can go through, but allow the board to start to function, you know, which the bill said to watch for to begin to beef it up. And the constitutionality of whatever can be dealt with, you know, in the process. You know, that's my worry, that we're going to find ourselves in this thing. So therefore, I don't want us to respond again on this issue. Can I then propose that what we then do with this amendment, having received them from the NCOP today, give an opportunity to study group to go through this amendment.
from now until next week on Tuesday. Next week Tuesday we convene to adopt or to reject these amendments. And once you have done that, obviously the bill will have to move on. My worry, obviously, is what I've just raised now. There are more problems that are cropping up. You know, we've managed to close the gap. The newspapers, you don't see a lot of pornography now in the newspapers. And child pornography is now totally banned in the country. You're now seeing another loophole being opened again of your cell phones and this peer-to-peer, what just dealt with. So you close this gap, they open up another gap and all of that. So, you know, it's something that we're not going to achieve, let it go here. But let's make sure that where we close so that they must not come back to that point until we reach that part that it will be a criminal offense for someone to possess a pornographic material in the cell phone. Because currently, I think it's one area which is very, very vague. Peer to peer part of what we deal with is not clearly regulated. And then at some point, I think it must be a criminal offense if one is found to be in a position of pornographic material in his phone, which is not approved by a film and publication board. And that's one of the things that we'll have to look at. Maybe next week when we come back, we'll have sort of a. Because we must charge them. These kids that are playing around with pornographic material, we must charge them. You see, they must go to prison. We must charge them. I mean, I know that parents are very stressed now. We buy the cell phones, we provide, it's a means of communication. But there are these problems. And people must know that it goes with a lot of offenses if you are found to be in possession of this material. So therefore, I think when we come back next week, we'll come back with some fresh ideas as to what is it that we can sort of further, take into this particular bill. So we'll convene next week on Tuesday, meaning that the work of the committee will end here today. But before we sort of adjourn, members know that tomorrow, at what time? At 9 o'clock in the morning tomorrow, we're meeting with the CETA. It's a closed meeting that will be dealing with CETA on the issues that are before the committee. And then, yeah, on Friday, the refugee day. I thought my committee secretary has a program. It seems to be operates like me. He does not have a program. Comes with a piece of paper always, and always say that they have a program in the committee because we'll be talking on the program. On Friday this week, members, we have a refugee day, and there's a seminar that is organized by Home Affairs and Foreign Affairs in Parliament. We expect plus minus 400 people who will be participating, organizations and the individuals, refugees and South Africans will be participating in the seminar that will take place on Friday from 9 o'clock in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. We're trying to get every single high-profile person in this country to participate and ordinary people to participate in the seminar. So therefore the meeting, I think, stands adjourned for now. We'll then on Tuesday tomorrow we'll announce the full program that will lead us to the end of the month. On that note, thank you very much, and I think we'll have to talk in between that. Since we'll have to talk just to go through this amendment and look at what are the issues. Yes.
No,